Okay, you were talking about your surgeries. You had a
I had a ruptured disc in my backbone, and then I had an operation on that to get.
How did you rupture that?
Well, when I was a prisoner of war, I think I got it by a plank broke and dropped me about 6 foot, and I had a 100-pound bag of salt, I think it was, on my shoulder, and I went down and went bling, and that, I think that done it.
And it compressed your spine, huh?
Yeah.
Broke something or
so they operated
something.
On me in Louisville and got in there and done whatever it was they do. And let's see what else. I had the emphysema and asthma. I had to go to the hospital and stay 9 days for that.
And that one almost killed you, right?
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Well, I went up to Lexington to a football game with my niece. It was damp that night. We went to the game, sat out the whole game, and I would come out. I stayed all night. The next morning, I come home real early. I was on Sunday morning. And then, well, I never thought that bad. I thought I just had a regular bad cold. I was coughing and spitting and spewing and carrying on. And, but as I come home, my chest got tighter and tighter and tighter as Sunday. So I come home, still didn't give it thought. The next day, I cut some wood and had to pile some wood up outside. My chest kept getting sore and sore and sore. And so I decided I'd go to the doctor. And she went with me. My wife went with me. And we got out to the hospital. And they tried x-raying and all that old stuff and said, well, nothing wrong with me.
That was out of Fort Knox?
Yeah. Then I come back home, naturally. And I got worse and worse and worse. And she kept watching me and looking at me. And my fingers turned some color, whatever, what do you call it? Anyway, at about 11 o'clock at night, I was really getting bad. So she got me up, got me in the car, and her neighbor went with us, went over to E-Town, the hospital.
We
went to Fort Knox, didn't we?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, then we went out there, and still there wasn't nothing. Turn around and come back. And then she said, you're going to the hospital, or something like that. And we called Gino, our neighbor, and he come and went with us, and we went to the hospital. And then they x-rayed me, honey.
Yeah, but he couldn't even walk in the car without Gino helping. He was too weak.
Just too
his,
weak.
Air cells was clumped together in his lungs, and he wasn't getting any oxygen. And he was sputtering. And he was swinging the open cyanide, and his skin looked like it. Person in a casket.
No,
they took one look at him and slapped the oxygen on him over there and sent me straight across the hall to admit him right then.
Mm. Well, that's
what do you remember from that? Do you remember that going on? Or
yeah,
you,
I remember it.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it.
When they put that oxygen on, did it help at all right away, or did they?
Well, yeah, it seemed to. And then they put me in the bed, and there was two nurses come by every now and then doing things to me or against me. Or
what did your body feel like when all that was going on?
I don't know.
You don't have any memory of it?
And another guy come up every day. He was from Fort Knox, this guy, and he'd give me what was that he'd give me, honey?
Inhalation therapy.
Yeah.
4 times a day.
And I stayed out there, and I finally got okay. Everything. And then I come home, and I started coughing terrible. Then I called the doctor, and then he gave a. Well, Maxie called and told him that I was doing coughing and carrying on. And he called the doctor, called the drugstore in Ratcliffe, and tell him to fix up this prescription.
Codeine
cost. Yeah, then she went and got it, brought it home. And I, took a couple of doses of it? I think it had drugs, really. And I took that and wasn't no time. I wasn't coughing, went to sleep.
Oh, it knocked you out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Codeine.
So from that day on, I've been doing okay. I never had no problem with my chest or.
And you got a new doctor from it too, right?
Well, yeah, I went for went out to
E-Town,
Dr. Young.
He's a diabetic specialist.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, but he took care of me. I had another doctor that first, and he got caught for, what was he doing, selling drugs, honey?
Lung specialist, Dr. Dow.
Yeah.
Dr. Dow, right.
I got caught for getting drugs.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, well, young, Dr. Young, he takes care of both of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's our number one doctor.
I didn't have a doctor at that time either. I didn't need one.
Right.
So I asked him would he take me as a primary. He'd be my primary doctor. He said, no problem. He'd take me.
Did you have any other surgeries?
Two hernias.
Yeah, hernia operation.
And prostate surgery.
Prostate surgery. And?
Oh, cataracts.
Cataract surgery.
Yeah. So you've had a few surgeries.
And otherwise, other than that, is I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, beyond the back surgery, no major, no real major ones.
No.
If you had a midlife crisis, at what age was it? Did you have a midlife crisis?
Midlife crisis? What would that be?
I don't know. Did you have one?
Not
did you
that
go
I
out,
know of.
Did you go out and buy yourself a Italian sports car?
No, I'm afraid not.
No. Or a Harley Davidson? I don't know the names of them. Fat Boy.
No. Me and my wife never buy nothing expensive unless we talk about it.
Okay.
So I never, ever...
You never went through a midlife
bought
crisis.
Bought anything that she didn't agree to. And she didn't buy nothing that I don't agree to. That's just the way we are. That's the way it is.
Okay.
And we don't fight too much over that.
How did your values, goals, and priorities change in midlife, 40 to 65 years old? How did your values, goals, and priorities change?
I don't know that it changed any.
No?
No. I don't think I changed or my priorities or values or anything else. I'm just me, and that's the way it is.
What is the most significant realization that you came to during your middle years?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Nothing became obvious or?
No.
No great truth jumped out at you, huh?
No. Well, the only person probably tell you that would be my wife. She knows more about me than I know about myself.
She didn't admit she even had middle years.
Yeah?
She didn't think she ever, never has got to them yet.
I don't think I've got to them either, because I don't know what it is.
What do you believe is your most important accomplishment in your midlife, 40 to 65? Your most important accomplishment?
40 to 65? Well, one of them was getting married. The second...
Well, that was before you were 40, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wasn't part of that.
40 to 60, you said.
40 to 65. You got married when you were in your 30s.
34, yeah.
Yeah, so what about after that, between 40 years old and 65 years old?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, all right.
Just life went on.
What was the best part of being middle-aged?
I don't, I'm sorry, but I have no idea.
Nothing comes to you, huh? Okay.
Nope.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about your middle-aged years?
It seemed like I got more accomplished in my middle-aged years than I did in any other years.
Really?
Yeah. I think I did, and maybe I didn't.
How do you mean that, accomplished?
It seemed like I'd done more things, accomplished more things, doing and odds and ends.
Just doing things you wanted to do and getting them done, huh?
Yeah, that's the way I see it. I don't know, I could be wrong, but I that's the way I see it. Now, if I do see all these things, my middle age and my other age, maybe I'd have sat down and wrote a book about them as the time happened.
Uh-huh, yeah.
After it all passes by for years and years, you don't know if you was even alive at that time or not.
All seems like a vague memory, huh?
Yeah, your brain goes to sleep on you. It said, I've learned all I want to know, so be quiet.
Well, that was the whole section on middle age, and now on page 205, we're in a section called Golden Years. And Golden Years are basically 65 years old to the present.
Well, I'm just 65.
65 to the present?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did you feel upon becoming a senior citizen?
Well, I felt just the same as I did before I was a senior citizen.
Nothing changed?
Huh? Nothing. Nothing.
Have your senior years been like you always thought they would be?
I never thought of the senior years. I could care less one way or the other.
Okay.
As long as I'm get three meals a day, and my wife don't try to run me off.
Tell about this is something we covered, but I'm gonna say anyway. Tell about how and when you decided to retire. Why did you decide to retire the first time?
Well, I was in the United States Army, and I had enough time in the Army that would allow you to retire, and that's why I retired. And I was 70 years old, wasn't it? Or wasn't that 70?
Not the first time.
First time I retired from the Army.
Yeah.
Second time I retired was from civil service.
You were was you 70 then?
Yeah.
You weren't 70, were you?
No, I wasn't quite 70.
The first time you retired, from the military back in 1961. 61, right.
Yeah. Huh?
42.
Now, why'd you retire out of the Army? Did something make you do that? Did you get mad at someone?
No, I just had enough time.
And it was time to go.
Yeah. At 25 years then.
Because I remember you said that when you retired from the Army, you didn't have a job lined up.
No.
You picked that up later. You looked around to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an amount of time that passed between the time you retired and the time you took that job at Kelly Vance?
Well, yes. I don't know, what about 3 months, 3 or 4 months?
Did you get bored?
No, I never had time to get bored.
I just wonder why you decided...
I was always doing something.
Why you decided to retire and then you decided to go to Kelly Vance.
Because a guy named Rogers, they needed a mechanic, and he asked me, was I be interested in coming up and going
Rogers.
To work?
Rogers.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Rogers.
I remember that.
I told him I didn't know a thing in the world about Volkswagen. He said, well, come on, you'll get trained in Volkswagen. And I went up there and talked to Mr. Vance and, I don't know, somebody else. And they gave me a job. That's after I retired from civil service.
From military?
Army.
Yeah.
After I retired from the Army.
And so
I don't know, huh?
So why did you decide at that time that you were gonna take that job versus taking any other job versus not doing anything?
Well, because I was getting tired laying around the house.
It didn't take long. That's what I was wondering. If you felt that. You know, everyone I know who retires at work,
mm-hmm.
they retire when they're 65 or mm-hmm. 70 years old or what. It don't take long before they get bored out of their minds.
Yeah, well, start looking for something
anything.
To do.
Yeah, and that happened to you too.
Yeah, that's right. It will. It'll happen to you too, one of these days.
Uh-huh. And so when you retired the second time from civil service,
mm-hmm.
it didn't happen that time.
No.
And why not?
Well, I thought two times retiring was enough. And
you didn't get bored this time?
No, I didn't get bored. I had a good income coming. And there was always something odd to do on this round.
You were living here then?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last time, when it happened before, you were over at Brookwood Drive? You were at Brookwood, and there wasn't a lot of projects to do.
Well, nothing.
You'd already done them all.
Yeah.
It was a small piece of land and not much to do.
Well, here was all kinds of stuff to do, and there always are something to do.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for my wife, I don't know what this place would look like.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't get out early in the morning.
Right.
About as close as I can get out is about 12 o'clock, right? And a whole lot I could do outside. If the wind's up or various other things, I gotta still stay inside. And
right.
She is a good groundhog.
That's gotta be hard on you since you were outside most of your life.
Well, it's not easy, but I manage.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. She runs me in the house.
Have you taken up any hobbies or interests after retiring the second time? Hobbies. You got any hobbies?
No, I can't.
One thing I noticed is you guys set up all that exercise equipment down there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you do that.
Well, we exercise, but I exercised in the Army for years.
Yeah.
And then we exercised before we had that equipment. I used to take my dogs a 2 mile walk and all that stuff. And Gingy died, had to have a foot to sleep. And then we got stuff downstairs to exercise all we want to. What do we exercise? About 35, 40 minutes, isn't it?
Every day?
As long as we go outside and move around, we don't exercise downstairs.
Uh-huh, right.
But as soon as the weather gets to where we can't, then we go downstairs, 5 days a week, and exercise. And it's good for you.
Well, that's this next question. Have you remained active throughout your senior years?
Yes.
Yes. What misconceptions do people have about being a senior citizen?
Think you just go and sit down somewhere and don't do nothing. But most of your senior citizens do try to do something because they know if they just sit down, a lot of them don't do it, they sit down and die. But if they don't do something and keep their muscles and body and the blood going through your body, you will die. Uh-huh. You won't last very long. Ain't that right?
Are there any other misconceptions about being a senior citizen that people have? Is being an older American different than it was being a younger American?
I don't see the difference.
Okay.
I don't see it. I know it's a difference, but it sure don't bother me. I'm glad to live another day.
What's your favorite joke about the golden years?
Oh, I don't have a favorite joke about the senior years or any other years.
Okay.
Do you? No.
Okay. Do you feel like you've attained a certain wisdom with age?
Well, yeah, I know a whole lot more now than I did, say, 50 years ago. I mean, you know, things that happened and the wars and all this other stuff. Yeah, I've gained a whole lot about certain things.
Well, that's nice. Thanks. Can you sum up, like, the main thing you learned after living 85 years?
Well, I've learned that our armed forces not doing like they ought to in the combat zones. I never hear of many people getting killed by sitting in a car or sitting in a truck or walking along the road blows up and all like that. And we got equipment to detect explosive devices anywhere. And I don't know why in the world they're not using that equipment. You can put it on the front of a car, jeep, truck, and it will detect it and cause it to explode. But I've never heard anything on the television about any of that happening.
Uh-huh.
It's always a truck blown up and killed 10, 5, 4, 6 people. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why that happens. And all kinds of crazy things has happened to our troops over there when it shouldn't be happening.
Okay. Have you become emotionally stronger with age?
Well, I can't say that I'm any different than I was before I become of age. I can't say I'm any different. You know what's any difference?
All right.
I don't know.
Have you lost many loved ones? If so, have their losses affected you?
No, they ain't nothing. My mother and father,
you lost a lot.
Sisters,
yeah.
Brothers, and... It hasn't affected me, I don't think. I know things happen to them.
You've outlived all of your brothers and sisters.
Well, I got one still living, Virginia.
Jenny, right.
And the way she's going, I'm not too sure whether I'm going to outdo her or not.
Okay.
I know all my brothers and sisters, it's hard on you. I mean, it's really hard. And I hated that it happened to all of them. But an animal, like a little dog or something, and you pet them and you play with them and they jump in your lap and do everything, and when they die, it hurts you real bad. It does me. I don't know, maybe something wrong with me.
So you have been really very attached to your pets over the years.
Yes.
Scotty, Alex.
Yeah.
Blossom.
Yeah.
Chopper.
Yeah.
Ginger 1 and Ginger 2.
And Lacey.
And Lacey. Is that all of them?
Yeah, I think that's all of them. But Lacey, she's the one.
She's the most recent.
That's the hardest on me.
And she was here. She lived in this house with you.
Well, she sure did.
She was a member of your family.
She was. And anything didn't go right, she'd let you know about it. Somebody knock on that door, she'd fly to that door.
Yeah.
And bark.
Phone would ring, she'd bark.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so it was harder on you to lose her, your pets,
yeah,
than it was to lose some of your brothers and sisters, wasn't it?
Really, it's an honest truth. It is. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Yeah. I was more attached to her than I was some of my brothers and sisters. I wasn't attached to hardly any of them.
I think that's true of most people.
Yeah. When you think about it.
Because those little pets become part of you. They become part of your life.
Yes. You see them every day, every night, and they see you every day and night. And it's just something about it that they're not, you can do about it. It's happened. It happens.
Have you remained healthy in your golden years?
Healthy? Huh? Well, not completely, but I'm pretty good shape.
What problems have you had as you got older?
Emphysema and asthma.
Your hearing?
And my eyes, my hearing, and my right ear's dead. My left ear's dead. And my right ear, it has a little ups and downs once in a while.
Yeah, you have those dizzy spells. Less than you used to have, but
yeah,
you still have them.
Yeah.
They used to be pretty bad, I remember.
Yeah. you're right about that.
But you're very mobile. You get around real well.
Oh, yeah. My legs and arms and hips and all like that, I do pretty good. Knees, wrists, and ankles, I don't have no problem with them at all.
Have you noticed that your hearing is getting worse now than it did, say, 5 years ago? Is it noticeable?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My right ear's dead. It's
been that way. Right.
This ear here, I can hear out pretty good until I get a clicking sound.
Uh-huh.
And if I lay down, it smooths off and smooths out. But if I'm around a crowd of people where four or five people are talking, I don't know what anybody's saying. I can't pick up nothing.
Can't separate it, huh?
Yeah, I can't separate it.
What about your eyesight now? Is your eyesight...
Well, it's not the best, but I can see pretty good. I can't read, like, fine print, I can't read it. But with glasses on, I can do pretty good.
Okay.
And I got a good helper, it helps me watch TV.
Reads it to you, huh?
Helps me, yeah.
What's the best part about being a senior citizen? The best part?
Well, you could be a dead one if you wasn't a senior.
What?
Yeah. Well, if you pass being a senior, you're a dead one.
I mean, what's the best part about being above 65 years old?
I don't know. I don't know what the best part is. I don't know of any good part.
Okay. You don't see a good part to it, huh?
No, I sure don't.
Okay.
I like it just as well if I could stay about 50.
Uh-huh. That was your time you said was the best.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the worst part about being a senior citizen? The worst part?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's just waiting for something to happen to you. They say when the older you get, the more things happen to you.
Yeah.
And that's the way you look. I don't look at it that way because I don't expect anything to happen to me.
You know something's going to happen sometime, right?
Yeah, sometime
because,
in the future.
Because nobody gets out of here alive. Right?
Well, that's true. But I've got out a lot of places alive.
Yes, you have.
That's why I take a chance and get out of this one alive. I don't know how, but you never know. You never know what can happen.
So, you've lived to 86 years old. What changes should be made in society to benefit senior citizens?
Well, they said to cut down on the medical charges so much for medication. And I think they're going to try to do it. I think they got it right now. The president, that's really working on that, trying to get it, you know, down where it'll be reasonable for senior citizens.
Uh-huh.
Now, what'll happen, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
Anything else should be done to help people who are older?
Well, it should make things a little bit more convenient at stores and various other things for senior citizens. But most everywhere, a senior citizen, they take care of them. They watch out after them and help them the best they can. I know I go in places sometimes looking for something, and I can't see well enough to find what I'm looking for. Like we go in the commissary, I can look for something, and here she comes right up there, and there it is, right there. But it happens, and I just hope I can live another so many years with my eyesight like it is, as long as I can see a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I can still see the drive. I can still see that, my hand, the coffee, everything else around here. Real small stuff, I can't see it. And a lot of times when I'm looking straight out here, it might be one thing out there, but my eyes see two.
Is that right? You see double sometimes.
Double vision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just use one eye, and I see double. It might be a bird. It might be anything.
Wow.
And I shake my head real good and come back, and then it's one again. But we got a doctor that takes care of our eyes and looks after them.
Have you ever been discriminated against or treated unfairly because of age?
Not that I know of. Ain't nobody ever mistreated me of my age.
Okay.
Nothing.
Does being a senior offer any special opportunities or privileges?
Various things. Sometimes you get things cheaper. Some things, that is, if you're a senior citizen. Various things. Be a senior, you get a privilege, or you get a discount.
Has any of them you noticed and take advantage of all the time?
No.
No, nothing that you say, I'm going there because I can get a good discount there, they offered this service to me here at the church because something.
I never give it a thought.
Okay.
If I get it, good. If I don't get it, still okay.
Are you members of AARP?
No.
I just wondered if you joined that ever.
No.
You know, Ann got invited to join that.
She did?
Yeah.
Did?
Uh-huh. You didn't see that? Yeah. Do you feel people today give seniors the respect they deserve?
They what?
Do you think that people today give senior citizens the respect they deserve?
Some cases they don't. But most of where I've been around, they normally do. They think we're old, don't you? At the commissary, people help us pack our bags and everything else.
You'd be
surprised that how they really will help you. You don't have to ask them. They just do it, right?
Most people are really good, aren't they?
She don't like it. It makes her think she's getting old.
Oh.
Yeah.
during your golden years, have you played an important role in the lives of your grandchildren?
Yes, we do. And we will continue to do so as long as we can.
Yeah. Are any of your looks, personality traits, or talents evident in your grandchildren?
Yes, I think I got a little girl that's got traits like my wife.
Yeah, you see that, huh?
Mm-hmm. She's smart as a tack, and I think she's got a good temper. And I ain't saying who it is.
What about looks?
Yeah, looks, good looks.
Mm-hmm. That have any of your looks, personality traits or talents, are they evident in your grandchildren?
I don't know.
You don't notice anything?
I don't really know whether I am, and I think I believe she does.
Wait, what?
You have like her grandchildren?
Okay.
Yeah.
Her personality traits are in Meredith and Clifton.
Meredith.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say about your golden years?
Well, I can't think of anything I want to say, but I hope I live through my golden years. That's all I can say about that.
Okay.
And
okay.
What is my golden years? What are they?
Ages 65 and on.
And to 100.
Okay. To the last.
To the last limit?
Uh-huh. Actually, to now, right?
Right to now.
To right
up to
now.
This point.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can always say that. It's up to this point.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to make it as far as I can.
Okay.
In my golden years.
Now, this next section on page 221 is called Ethnic Heritage. And this is a lot for blacks, American Indians, Hawaiians, mm-hmm. You're Asian, and so forth. So I'm going to skip ahead. There's a lot of questions here. To 237, regrets, mistakes, milestones, and turning points. What is the biggest mistake you ever made?
What is the biggest mistake I ever made? Let me think. Oh my goodness. I know I have made mistakes, small ones, but I never made a big mistake in my whole life that I know of, that
okay.
I can think
There's
of.
There's nothing you can point to right there and say, I should have done that differently.
No.
Right.
No, I can't.
What's the smartest decision you ever made?
Of getting married to the woman I'm married to.
Is there something you have always dreamed of doing but never did?
I can't think of a thing that I ever thought of like that. I can't.
All right. What have you feared that has kept you from doing all the things you wanted to do?
Again, I've done everything I wanted to do. That, as far as I know, I've done everything that I wanted to do.
Do you have a talent or a special gift that you have not used?
No.
See, that's like that woman you knew.
Huh?
It's like that woman you knew who could sing and play an instrument. Mm-hmm. She had a gift that she never used.
That's right. But I'm not one of them. I can't sing. I hum, but I can't sing.
Okay.
And I can count. I can holler. I can tell you things. But at the present time, I forget things too easy. She can tell me something. I walk downstairs and I forget what I went down there for. And that's just part of it. My brain, it just can't keep it up there. And I don't know whether this whole slit in my head is because of that. I think it's just old age living on this earth
right.
for so long time.
The normal part of aging.
That's a normal part of it.
What's the nicest thing you've ever done for someone else?
I'm thinking. I know I've done something nice for somebody somewhere.
Well, I know that you paid your children's way through college, and that was pretty nice.
Well,
now
yeah.
Maybe that was expected of you, but
well,
it was still pretty nice.
Me and my wife, both of us together, we've done it. Nice thing. A lot of things. See, you can't think of them right off hand.
So I'll say this. You've helped a number of people
okay.
financially.
Yeah.
Now, not to name names or anything, but you've helped a number of people financially to get on their feet and to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them were your two sons, and there have been a number of others, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And that was nice. That was really, really nice. And it, you know, the other thing it did, at least for me, is it taught me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really good. That was nice.
Well, we over the years we've tried to always do help people. You know, somebody you get somebody say $100 and they take it just throw it away. Well, they don't appreciate it. They don't spend it the way they should spend it to help themselves. then we don't bother about giving them anything else.
Right, right. Did you ever put anything off that was extremely important until it was too late?
No, nothing I could ever think of.
Did you ever do something in spite of everyone's advice not to do it? What was it and how did it turn out?
I never had a problem. I never did have nothing like that. I was always thoughtful and look into anything that looked like it was a pushover or something. I never did get hung up in anything like that.
So you never chose to do something where all your family was saying, you shouldn't do that?
No.
Never got in that situation?
Ever. Never, ever. And I don't know, being in the Army and being supervisor and so many things, and listening to people's stories, what they did, what happened to them, it educated me of so many different ways by listening to the young men's stories about what I'd done, what somebody had done to me. You'd be surprised how you could get educated by just listening to other people's problems. And you think, well, that'll never happen to me. I mean, I'll make sure it never happens. And at the same time, if somebody asks your advice, then give them some of these things that somebody has told you how to do or what not to do, you know. And over the years, I've tried to go with that trait about helping or not helping and so on and so forth.
What was the most important decision you ever had to make? And do you feel you made the right decision? What was the most important decision you ever made?
All I've been through and everything else, it's almost impossible for me to answer that.
Too many
decisions. When I was a POW, about this and that and this other, the time I operated machinery, and I do something with that machinery that it would wear out too quick. It cost the Japanese a lot of money, but it let a lot of POWs rest for maybe 2 or 3 days. If I had ever got caught doing that, I'd have been shot. And it's something that you think about years after. Why in the world did I do that in the first place? Because it probably didn't help anybody anyway. But I done it, and I'm glad I done it.
It was an important decision at the time.
That's right.
It saved lives.
Yeah.
May or may not have saved lives. Probably did.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it saved some. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like me and my friend, the people would get sick, they quit eating, they trade their rice for cigarettes, a various lot of other things. And me and Arnold, we serve rice and soup to everybody in that barracks, which over maybe it was 500, and we watched every day the guys would trade their rice, bowl of rice for a package of cigarettes. And that in about 2 or 3 days they started getting pale and weak and run down looking, and we would get on their cases. We called everything, every name in the world, booked. And we had people got sick, would be sick in their beds, that they wouldn't get up, they wouldn't do nothing. And then, oh, I'll go get them, pull them out of the bed, and cuss them, and call them everything in the world. We give them ever the worst name we could ever, and we make these people mad. And I mean, believe it or not, within 2 or 3 days, they're up on their feet, eating their rice. And then I've asked our doctor about that. He said, that's right. You find somebody like that, you make them mad. Do everything you can think of to make them mad, and they'll come out of it most of the time. I think if I do that to a neighbor down here, but then I thought, no, what was wrong with her wasn't trading cigarettes for rice or stuff like that, see. But your mother talked to her, but she was beyond anything, wasn't she? You couldn't you couldn't made her mad enough to jump up or straighten up.
But these men were such that if you could get them to eat and to get on their feet, it would help them.
Yeah.
They could recover.
That's what it done.
Yeah.
They started eating, and they'd eat, drink their soup.
Even if it was mad at you and they were just getting their strength so they could beat you up.
That's right.
That's okay.
Absolutely. Yes, buddy. And also, I served rice, I served soup. I was also fight. I was a fight referee. And two guys having a problem, about mad at each other about something. Few licks past, I get two or three guys, take them outside behind the bathroom, and I said, all right, now fight it out, and all I want is straight fighting. And I'd referee their fighting, and whichever one I thought won was the winner.
And that, you knew how to do that because of your experience?
That's right. Yes, buddy.
Back in Harrisburg.
You'd be surprised at how many that would have done that, and them guys would come back. And they was the best of friends from that time on. It really happened. And this Dr. Campbell, he was the one that told me, and this guy, Arnold Lawson, he was the one that told us that was what to do. Make them mad. Make them fighting mad. If you have to do, take your hand and hit them upside the head. And you'd be surprised at how many that we got up out of their beds and they started eating their rice. Oh, they was mad at the world, but that gave them an appetite.
Wow. Oh, man.
But Arnold Lawson's, is another boy named Lawson, and he died. It was Arnold's nephew or something like that. And he started trading his rice off for cigarettes. We got on him. By the time we caught him, though, it was too late. And he died from starvation. That's about it. He wouldn't eat nothing. And we done everything we could think of. And he died. We had to take him, had him cremated. Everybody died. They cremated them and put their ashes in a little pine box about how they put them in there. The worst thing about that, we had them in a building all together. Oh, we had about 500 or 600 of them. And the American bombers come over and blow that place up and burn up that building where we had those boxes of ashes, and it all burned up.
It was all gone.
Yeah.
Where have you always wanted to go but never have?
Where did I always wanted to go but never went? You know, if I hadn't been all over this world, I might have an answer for that.
I know there was a time back there that you wanted to go to the Philippines, and you hadn't been back for many years, and you both went.
Yeah, we went to the Philippines.
And that was one of those dreams of returning back to there.
Yeah, it was a good time. We both enjoyed it. And we got there after the monsoon season.
Did you ever have a desire to go back to Japan?
Well, I went back to Japan when I was in Korea.
Yeah, you sure did.
I went over three times. And I got a Japanese man to take me back down to where I was a POW and working in a big dry dock.
Was it still there?
But the dry dock was there, but everything, the buildings and everything where we lived, it was all gone. They done tore it down or burned it
up. They may have bombed that.
Oh, the war was over with. No, they didn't bomb that place.
Oh, it was, okay.
Where are you going, Mike? Where's you?
What dreams have you had during your lifetime? Have any of them become a reality?
Well, yeah, one of them did. It's a dream that I would marry the person that I love more than anything in the world. I can tell you who that is.
And it happened just the way you dreamed it, huh?
That's right. But I can tell you who that person is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Watch it.
Don't be surprised you wake up a big bump on your head.
Well, I already got a bumper.
Have you had a... Okay, listen to this question. Have you had a close brush with death or other spiritual experience that changed your life?
Yes, I've had experiences with death.
Many times.
But I don't think it changed my life. No. The first day the Japanese attacked Parkville, I was so scared that day that I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
You think that experience changed your life?
No, it didn't change it.
You don't think so?
No, okay. No, it didn't. It didn't change it.
Were you ever that scared again?
No, no. I don't think anything that I can recall that ever scared me to change my life or change anything. I can't recall anything. Maybe somebody else knows something that I don't know.
If you ever have had or still have a terminal illness, has it changed your life? That's an odd question.
Yes, it's changed mine.
You've got a terminal illness?
Yeah.
Your emphysema?
Huh?
Your emphysema?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a terminal illness. That you can live with that one.
Well, yeah.
Like
terminal, that's something that's going to kill you.
Which is a little odd because they ask the question, if you have had a terminal illness, that means you died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not going to be answering this question.
That don't sound
right,
does it? Yeah, okay.
If you have had a terminal illness, how did it change your life? It ended it.
No, okay. Put no on that.
But no. Have you ever saved someone's life?
Yeah. At least I think I have.
Tell the story.
Well, Edwin Skip Rue, he was a lieutenant in the Army in our outfit. We went from the Philippines to Japan. He was on the ship with us. He lay down stretched out, and he wouldn't eat nothing. And we cussed him. We called him every quitter in the world, and we got him mad at us, and he got up, and we fed him rice, and we saved his life. But other people that I know that I had a little bit to do by saving.